Well, good morning. Welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church, and happy Father's Day to all you dads out there.
It's time to pray together. Please pray with me. Jesus, you are the reason that we're here today. You are the reason that we live. Lord, we are here together. You are holy and beloved. We're bowed down before you. Together, we're praying to you. Together, we're worshiping you. We are hoping in you, trusting in you, reflecting on you. Sometimes we're doubting you. Sometimes angry or dismayed or confused because we do not understand you. But how could we? Your thoughts and your ways are higher than ours, as you have said in your word. But we know you are good and wise, compassionate and powerful. And so together we praise you, Lord. You are a God of wonders beyond our comprehension. And as we reflect upon you, we are captured by your deep love, your mercy, your kindness, and your grace toward us, your children. And we pause, as it is Father's Day, to think about the kind of love you have modeled for us as our Heavenly Father. A love that initiates, pursues, won't let go, forgives at great cost, sacrifices, serves. Your love is tenderly patient. You lead and guide, provide, teach, hold us, pick us up, give rich, amazing promises that you keep. You are faithful, you are strong, powerful, wise, beautiful, creative, and always right here with us, always and forever. Thank you. Thank you for VBS this past week. We ask that you continue to deeply imprint your love and your ways on each of the hearts that have shared here this past week. And we ask, likewise, that you'll be close to all those that are going on the houseboats, that this would make a difference in them for the rest of their lives. Touch them, Lord. Keep them safe. Your love, Jesus, so deeply touches us. We do want you to be the fire in our hearts, the wind in our sails, the reason that we live. And we confess together that we too often do not act like we want you to be our center. In fact, we too easily like to be the center ourselves. In your mercy, you reach out and gather us back. And then we see how far we've drifted from a place of peaceful and humble dependence on you. You pour out this never-ending forgiveness through the blood of your Son, Jesus. You hold nothing back, and you do not look back. Oh, thank you. Thank you, and we praise you. We have leaders in our towns and states and countries, and we now lift them up to you for your guidance and wisdom. We ask your help in guiding this church and its leaders. And give us eyes that search out and see you at work right here, right now. And we have some who are really suffering in our congregation. Be close and hold those who are grieving. Perhaps they have losses, maybe they're sick, struggling with whatever. Please be close to them. Help them to feel you and know you are helping them and with them. Help us to search out and be the vessels of your mercy and compassion for these people right here among us. Help prepare us as we get ready to reach out into our community in service worship in 2 more weeks. And prepare the people to receive us and to see you, Lord Jesus. Now we close this prayer together as you, Jesus, have taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
First of all, thank you, Kimiko. That was amazing. That was amazing, wasn't it? We really ought not miss the opportunity to be grateful when somebody will give us such an incredible gift as that. Because there are lots of churches in which you just don't get that kind of stuff anymore. And that's not a bad thing, but it is a sad thing. And when I think about what it's like to be the church these days, the forces that surround us continually challenge us to kind of try to go in one of two directions. And that is to be the church that is always trying to do something bigger and better and more spectacular, or do something that just sort of, that, sorry, we're going to fix that right now. That's all going to make everybody crazy, myself included. See if that works a little better. Thanks. Thank you, Frank. So to either go bigger and better and more extravagant, or to try to go simpler and simpler and simpler and do what's more and more and more familiar. And these are bad, false choices, I want to suggest. I want to suggest that these are false choices that don't actually lead us into what I think God is really calling us to, which is to cultivate a sense of curiosity and wonder. And that our openness as a people to God's grandeur and God's greatness, to curiosity and wonder, is in fact what will lead us step by step along the path that the Holy Spirit has for us in Christ to be fully the people of God who display for the world fully the greatness and the grandeur and celebrate with the world God's wonderful creation. So I was so thrilled when I heard of our VBS theme this last week. And that here in Silicon Valley, we don't believe in this dichotomy, this separation between faith and science. But we believe in the God who created this universe as whole and as integrated and as orderly and as magnificent and as mysterious in such a way that we can know it and understand it. And as we grow in our knowledge, as we grow in our capacity, so too can we grow in our sense of wonder. And that we can celebrate that with the kids, that we can create an opportunity for our kids to experience that too. What a great gift that is. And so I also am thrilled and excited about what's happening next week with our houseboats ministry. That when I met with Jesse at first, and we first started talking about the houseboats, he thought, I don't know how many kids are going to come, and it doesn't seem like that many kids are interested. And then I got a text from him at the beginning of last week saying, we got 23 kids, and we got full cars, and it's going to be really great. I'm like, God is good. God is good that these kids, many of whom may not ever have the opportunity to be out in the woods, to be out on a lake, to be near Mount Shasta, to experience God's wonder and grandeur, they've never experienced that stuff. They grew up in the city, and they're going to get to experience that. I'll praise God for that. And then, lo and behold, more kids signed up. Is Jesse here? He was here. Jesse, where are we at?
We went back to 23.
Okay. So you got the right number of kids, you got the right number of drivers, loaves and fishes. God is good. Awesome. Okay, good. Fantastic. I want to share some scripture texts with you that kind of frame what I'm thinking about this morning and how I want to actually do our summer. This morning's theme, cultivating sense of curiosity and wonder, is both kind of the way I want to start our summer It's not really a series. It's kind of a bunch of one-offs. But I really wanted to invite us in the spirit of VBS, in the spirit of summer, to be a bit more playful. And so as you can see, I've got a little science experiment that the kids got to experience at VBS, and I want to share that with you in a moment. But I just wanted to create some way to sort of interrupt what can often be a rhythm that leads us either, again, trying to be bigger and better or trying to be more and more simple, but instead of just saying, let us be in the midst of the extraordinary wonder that God's doing. Let's be part of the mystery. Let's be part of what the wonderful stuff God is doing and lift up our eyes and see that. So I want to begin with a text from Colossians chapter 2. And if we can look at that together. This is Paul writing to the Colossian church. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul is saying that his encounter with the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, in which he met Jesus Christ, the fullness of God made manifest, incarnate in the resurrected person of Jesus, that he, in his continuous pursuit to know God more completely, began to be amazed over and over again that the more he got to know this Jesus, the more he experienced Christ present in this resurrected form, the more he knew and the more he knew what he didn't know. That's what we as the Church of Jesus Christ get to proclaim to the world. That we get to know more and get to celebrate all the stuff we don't know. That we get to celebrate the God that is so close that we can look God in the eye and have a personal relationship with God, and at the same time to know this God who was always greater, always more than we can recognize, always more than we can fully apprehend, always more and up to more than we fully can get our heads and hearts around. That is an amazing thing to celebrate. Amen? And when we move closer to that Jesus, when we move closer to that person of Jesus, and we begin to go back again and again to the Gospels, to the stories of Jesus and his ministry, what we find over and over again is a Jesus who makes himself amazingly accessible. As one pastor put it that I thought was really, really good, Jesus always puts the good stuff on the bottom shelf. Jesus always makes the fullness of God's goodness available to those who are with open minds, open hearts, and a sense of wonder, able to see and open to this thing. And it's always on the bottom shelf where it's really easy to reach. And it's that, for that reason, that the gospel writers make sure to record, and we continue to look at with amazement, Jesus' words about kids. Matthew 19, verse 14. We know these verses really well, don't we? Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." He called the little child to him and placed the child among them. This is in verse 18, in chapter 18. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What is that lowly position? Is it not that position of humility? Is it not that position of curiosity and wonder, an openness of heart? This is the opposite of cynicism. This is the opposite of the cynical world that we live in which we believe that somebody's always trying to deceive us. Someone's always trying to con us. Someone's always got some ulterior angle. And Jesus says, no, there's no hidden agenda here. There's only the love of the Father. There's only the love of God made available to those who are open to receiving it. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more intentional I have to be around the work of cultivating a heart of wonder, to continue to cultivate a spirit of curiosity, to say to yourselves, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder what's alive in this moment that God's in that I can see and be a part of. I want us as a church to be alive to that this summer. Because I think this summer is going to be an important time for us to do stuff that, well, you know, grown-ups don't really do that. To do stuff that say, well, that, I don't think that's really the most important thing for us to be doing right now. Because we really need to be doing the most important things. To be able to look at one another and say, it's okay if it's kind of a mess. It's okay if it doesn't look kind of quite the way we want it to. It's okay if we don't do it the exact same way every time. So, the first thing you might be curious about, you, the very, very well-educated, is how it is that sodium bicarbonate doesn't have a number 2 in the chemical formula. We were looking at this earlier today, and Monica, thank you so much, Monica, for putting this little science project together for us. We're going to look at these amazing compounds, sodium carbonate and sodium bicarbonate. Do they look similar? Yes. Very, very similar things, right? And what was puzzling to us was that we looked at the chemical formulas and we said, well, wait a minute. Bi, that's 2. So shouldn't there be 2 here? Anybody study chemistry past high school? No? So Monica, I see Glenn doing exactly what we all did. Monica being very, you know, Monica, she's like, we got to do it awesome and we got to do it right. So she's checking the internet, right? So the source of satisfying all of our curiosities, for better or for worse. And sure enough, this is the chemical formula for sodium bicarbonate. This is it. And over here, sodium carbonate, this is the chemical formula for sodium carbonate. And they look really, really similar. How do you go from sodium bicarbonate, commonly called baking soda, how do you go from this to this? Heat. All you got to do is apply a little heat, and you can knock the 2 right out of it, or put the 2 into it. Knock the bi out of it, I guess, is the best way to put it, right? So, let me tell you what the kids learned with this science experiment, and then I'm going to invite you and I to wonder together what we might consider out of this little experiment. So, for VBS, the idea was to talk about friendships and relationships, and to talk about how two relationships might look the same, but one has a really different effect on us. And so we go even a step further, and in the presentation, they can also hold up salt and sugar, right? Do salt and sugar look alike? Right. But if you add them to water, you're going to get a really different taste experience. And so in the same way, you can kind of guess, right? Here's a great example of like, so taste and see that the Lord is good. Sugar water versus salt water, right? Okay, yeah, we can kind of sense this. These two things can look the same, but they have a really different experience. And similarly, we can look at sodium bicarbonate and sodium carbonate and think, well, they look the same and they probably act the same, don't we? In a way, and so for the kids, this was a conversation about making sure you have good friendships. Because some friendships are going to be life-giving, and they're going to be affirming, and they're going to build us up, and something really wonderful happens when that takes place. But for other friendships, people who aren't a good positive influence in your life, you know, it's not such a great thing, right? So, going to set the salt and sugar aside for now. And we've got ourselves some white vinegar. And if I put the white vinegar in the sodium carbonate, what's going to happen? Something good? Something messy? Let's see. Okay. What do you think? Pretty cool. All right. Now, Monica warned me. She said something might happen. A little something might happen. So that's sodium carbonate. Okay. This is the stuff that got, this is the sodium bicarbonate, the baking soda that got cooked in the oven for a bit. All right. So now we have our sodium bicarbonate. What's going to happen now? Probably something that will need a towel. Let's see. There we go. Fun stuff. Fun stuff. All right, so shout out. What, when you see that image, when you see that amazingly fun, bubbling up and over experience, what do you think about? What from the scripture do you think about? My cup runneth over. Good. What else? Life abundantly pressed down and overflowing. Right. Good. What else? The waters of life overflowing and over us. Great, great, great. Great images. Great images. What else? Say again. Made a mess. Yes. Yes. Sometimes we got to make a mess. Connections and relationships and how the right relationships have this overflowing abundance to them, don't they? They do absolutely have that. I'm so aware for me anyway, when I think about, looked at this, all I could think about was the Holy Spirit. Now maybe that's because we just got done having a great celebration of Pentecost. But they did a study and they wanted to kind of understand from a sociological and emotional and psychological level the impact of worship in people's lives. So I'm thinking about this little experiment. I'm thinking about that bubbling over image, and I'm thinking about worship. And I'm thinking about the presence of the Holy Spirit in worship. Now, so here's the study that they did. They interviewed people who attended a rock concert. And in that rock concert, people went to the rock concert, they came back and they said, please describe the physiological experience you had attending this rock concert. And they talked about sort of feelings of euphoria, excitement, a sense of belonging to something larger than oneself. To be in this all together with all these other people singing at the top of their lungs, excitement, joy, euphoric energy, right? And then they interviewed people and asked them to describe the physiological experiences they had in a deep spiritual encounter. When they had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And please describe what that felt like. And it was the exact same words. It was the exact same words. The words euphoric and happy and joyful and feeling like they're part of something larger than themselves, etc. Here's the greatest and the worst thing that's happened in the church in the 20th and 21st century, in my opinion. The greatest and the worst thing that happened is that we having gotten in touch with the joy of what it means to worship together the living God, that when we found ourselves having a difficult time connecting to God in the ways we wanted to, instead of investing more time in developing the right relationship with sodium bicarbonate, that is the Holy Spirit, we kind of moved over to sodium carbonate. We turned up the volume. You following me? That we didn't really realize that we could actually call out of people the same emotional experience as the Holy Spirit if we only made the music louder. And if we brought people into a rock concert experience. If we bring people into the right kind of experience with the right kind of stimulus, they might actually think it's the Holy Spirit. You following me? Not a bad thing to go to a Christian rock show. Not a bad thing to go to a Spirit West Coast. Not a bad thing to bring people together and turn the music up and to give ourselves energetically to worship. Not a bad thing at all, friends. But we want to make sure that we have a sodium bicarbonate experience. We want that, right? Not a sodium carbonate experience. That looks a whole lot alike. But the energy, the vitality, and the sense of wonder, they're not the same. Because at the end of the day, can you agree with me that we could walk out of worship feeling energized and excited and joyful, kind of sodium carbonate style, but that change doesn't stick. That transformation isn't permanent. It will be there for a little bit, and then pretty soon we need another stimulation. We need it again and again and again. But if the Holy Spirit is really present in what we're doing, if we're really attending to what the movement of the Holy Spirit, that causes a bubbling up in us. That causes a reaction. That causes a change that is the change that changes everything. I hope I'm not offending anybody. I hope I'm not challenging things that you love. I hope instead that I'm inviting us to be aware that there's something at work amongst us in the Holy Spirit, and that we want that, and that we're going to keep seeking that, and that we won't ever want anything that is less than or counterfeit to it. Does that make sense? We want to keep asking the question, Holy Spirit, how is it that you're really working amongst us? How is it that you're causing that reaction, that bubbling over experience? And what I hope we'll discover this summer as we think about this and playfully tease it out a little bit is that that experience, that movement of the Holy Spirit, that reaction in us, that can happen in all sorts of amazing ways. It doesn't just happen when we're all together in church and the music is turned up. It actually can all happen also when we're all together and the music is turned way down or there's no sound at all. It can happen when we're standing out in the midst of God's creation, in the midst of His grandeur and wonder, and the only sound we hear is the sound of water flowing over rock or wind moving through tree. It can happen when we give our full and undivided attention to the person that we have loved for so very long as they lay in the hospital bed, breathing their last breaths. It can happen when we get to hold a grandchild and share a mutual gaze with that child, to look back and forth and just to be fully present to this other person that is us but not us, that is part of us but not part of us, that is part of a continuation of something greater than we can ever imagine. It can happen when those people whom we have not seen and have become invisible to us, we fully acknowledge their humanity and treat them as persons again. It happens when we serve and do deep, good work for another. This reaction, this bubbling over that we long for, this movement of the Holy Spirit, it can come to us and occur in us in extraordinary, wondrous ways. And what I want to encourage you to do, O saints, O wise ones, O you who have been part of the body of Christ for longer than you can even remember, I want to urge you to join me in paying attention to the wondrous ways in which the Holy Spirit is at work amongst us. The hidden ways. The ways that don't seem particularly interesting and different until we see that reaction, until we see that change. I want to invite you to join me in a new spirit of curiosity and wonder. Will you do that with me? Maybe. You'll think about it? Okay. I know, it's a big commitment. It's a big ask. You think about it. And be back with us next week so we can keep playing at this together, okay? Will you join me in a word of prayer? Thanks, Lord, for Vacation Bible School and the way in which you showed up in the lives of kids and leaders alike. In new ways and wondrous ways. Thank you, loving Lord, for houseboats and the way in which you are going to draw kids, students into a deeper relationship with you and into a deeper sense of community, of belonging. We pray, Holy Spirit, that the way in which you showed up in our lives last week and this week, that will cause a stirring and a bubbling up in some of us that overflows into the rest of us. Amen? We pray for that this summer would be the summer in which we see you doing a new thing and that we sense this bubbling over and that when we see it in surprising and curious ways that we would be filled with greater wonder and longing for you and that we would want to join you more and more in that work. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us your Son. Father and Son, thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit and the way you work within us. May we be able to, with greater and greater clarity and encouragement to one another, worship you in spirit and in truth, and see you, Holy Spirit, move amongst us in new ways. We long for this, and we long to be like that white vinegar hitting that sodium bicarbonate. We want to be that in the world, where we are living life abundantly and overflowing into the lives of other people. Make that so, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And now, friends, receive the benediction. May the God of wonders fill you with wonder. May the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who called all this beautiful creation into being and sang over us, may he be your, fill you with greater knowledge and joy in the mystery of who he is. May the Holy Spirit now fill you to overflowing, that you may live an abundant life before others and give glory to God in all that you are and all that you do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go now in peace. Amen.